So I'll start off with some introductions. My name is Colton Wansittler, and I'm currently the interim assistant director at the Rennie Center at MSU. I am in this position until Trixie returns from her sabbatical. Nick?
And I am Nicholas Bonani, and I am currently a graduate coordinator at the Rennie Center at MSU.
Nice to meet both of you all. And do you all want me to introduce myself too? Okay, got it. Sorry. I'm Travis Webster. I'm an assistant professor and director of writing across the curriculum at Pace University in New York. And I'm a Michigan State rhetoric and writing alumni from 2012. And I worked in the Writing Center from as a GA from 2010 to 2012.
Perfect. So that actually leads us into our first question pretty easily. So we're going to gather some context first, and then we'll move on to gathering stories. So
perfect.
If you could reiterate when you worked at the center, that would be great. And then if you could also tell us who was on the leadership team, so any directors, assistant directors, fiscal officers, anything like that.
Sure, sure. So I was there from 2010 to 2012 as a graduate assistant. In that role, I was a grad consultant, and also I was, oh goodness, what was the title? I coordinated the workshops. The leadership team at the time, Trixie Smith was the director, Diana Baldwin was the assistant director, and there were several GAs in different administrative graduate assistantship roles. Oh my gosh. Yeah, Judy was our, I don't remember, Judy Easterbrook, I think, was our, was housed in the Writing Center also, and she did a lot of our budgetary stuff as well.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. So while you were working on campus, where were center locations across campus? Does
that make sense? Yeah, absolutely.
And if you remember what the spaces looked like or where they were at, if you want to give us a little bit of insight, that would be cool.
Yeah, sure. The main center was in, oh my goodness, I can't remember the name of the building. I know wherever the main center is, I think it's still the main center.
Bessie
it's like, Hall. Say it again.
Bessie Hall.
Bessie, there you go. I was like, I know it's not Olds. Olds used to be another part of our rhetoric and writing, spatial identity, but yeah, Bessie Hall, second or third floor, kind of in a large adapted, classroom with, administrative offices and two different, conference rooms. A lot of, events took place there. A lot of grad seminars took place there. There were also, I think when I was there, 7 additional satellites. There was a business satellite, 2 or 3 dorm satellites, library satellite. I want to say we had something also in the main student center, which I also can't remember what that was called either. It's been a while back, but the spaces, the main space was incredible in that, like, the staff would create kind of ceiling tiles to kind of represent the identities of the staff members at the time. And that was kind of a rolling onboarding process, which I always thought was cool, that also linked to the tutor training course. So I think there's going to have a lot more satellites now, but there were like at least 7 back then.
Great. Thank you so much. And so our last, like, context question is, what services did the center offer while you were there? So we're looking for, like, writing groups, face-to-face, anything like that you can recall.
Sure. So face-to-face sessions, we had group sessions, we had graduate dissertation writing groups, there were workshops across the university. Another kind of space I forgot to mention is that we used to be in Second Life, which was Diana Baldwin's research area, which was I don't think it's still a Writing Center thing anymore, but it was kind of an online virtual role play space where students could give us support and online through avatars and things like that. The MSU Writing Center had a space in that virtual world. We had a huge kind of, when I was there, a growing kind of digital identity. One of the conference rooms was specifically devoted to kind of our digital graduate writing consultants who did a lot with like multimodal writing through the professional writing graduate program and across campus. I think that's all I can remember at the moment.
Awesome, thank you. So now we're going to move on to some gathering stories, which we'll have Nick.
All right, so our first question in this section is, when you think of the Writing Center at MSU's history, what comes to mind? Obviously, this is a very broad question, so we broke it down. We said, for example, what do you think the center's most significant achievements are? Or can you recall any outreach programs or significant events that the center had created while you worked there or had at the time?
Mm-hmm. I was there before. I feel like current Writing Center research has really taken up the idea of social justice, kind of intersectionality, you know, the kind of lived experiences of Writing Center stakeholders. But when I was there, that was kind of a budding idea. And I feel like the Writing Center at MSU had a kind of a major role in that. I was in the grad seminar Trixie taught when Facing the Center, which is by Harry Denny. It's one of the first Writing Center book length manuscripts that deals with like these kinds of issues related to identity and social justice and things like that. But I felt like MSU was kind of right there alongside that, the early representations of that research in a very like embodied concrete form. Like the things I take away most from that era, to think of, I think it was the first time I'd worked in a writing center where identity work, social justice, a mission, both of our practices, but also of like our tutor training, were all wrapped up in this idea that writing is this very political, kind of ideological space of empowerment for people to kind of empower themselves through their identities. So those are the things that kind of come up a lot. I can't recall off the top of my head outreach programs, but I would say that the Writing Center was often a space where, for example, I think the first time Michigan State's RAC program taught a queer rhetorics course, Trixie taught it, and we met in the Writing Center. And it was just kind of always an interesting place, and I'll always kind of associate that experience of like the first time a course like that being taught by a queer person and also being like located in the Writing Center for an evening seminar. So I feel like the Writing Center was kind of your standard Writing Center in some capacities, like yes, working one-on-one in a peer-based model, but also there was just always a lot of energy and activity, often queer energy and queer activity around the Writing Center, the way I remember it.
Sorry, I'm also trying to tape up some notes for us as I'm,
sure.
I'm listening.
Oh yeah.
No, you're good. That's fantastic to hear. So the next question would be, what is your favorite MSU Writing Center story? I mean, obviously this can be anything. We've heard some fantastic stuff that has absolutely nothing really to do with, you know, a serious quality of the Writing Center, some funny people that they've had in or things like that. So
yeah, favorite Writing Center story. I think so. The semester I defended my dissertation, I was also co-teaching with Trixie the Writing Center Theories course, the undergraduate version. And I just remember like a really fantastic kind of semester long experience with that. It was the first time I taught an advanced course. I defended I think it was the last day of our class. And so the class kind of it was just a really nice experience. A little less like individualized experience. I remember we videoed this, like the whole staff got together during like one of our like Friday staff meetings and filmed this outreach video for the university. It was to a Beatles song, I think Help or something like that. And like we got, I can't remember the Sparty is the name of the mascot, I think. I mean, even like Sparty came in and we had to do everything like in one take. It had to happen pretty quick because of the ways that things were, I think it had to do with like how long we could have Sparty slash the labor of the folks doing the filming and stuff like that. It was really fun. It was just a really fun and funny slash, it was a moment where like there were students involved. I think the video was a hit across campus. It was really fun.
I really quick before we welcome our new guest, I actually got the video of the outtakes of that.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
From Beth. And how funny. That was brought up in theirs. And so she actually emailed the video that's up on YouTube right now with the outtakes from that.
Oh, that's cool. Okay. I like that came full circle. That's cool that you actually all get to see. Yeah. That was really fun. I mean.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm sorry I'm late. I had the time written down as 3 p.m. Central. So sorry about that.
Oh, it's okay. I was worried. I even said that when we started. I was like, I think she's in Texas. And so I'm concerned that maybe there might be a time issue. But I'm so glad that you were able to join
And
us.
There was. Me too. That's why I'm in my car. I headed out for an errand. And I was like, wait a second. Something feels wrong. Yeah, but so good to see you.
So good to see you too.
And you are also in Texas, but somehow did not have that issue.
Well, I'm in New York now, but I do feel like I'm on Texas time a lot. But yeah. I moved about a while back. Yeah, or like 2 years ago or so. So it's hard to keep
and
up with.
I want to catch up with you, but it also doesn't feel right in the middle of the interview.
Yeah.
So just to recap and make sure that you're all good with the recording stuff. So we're using the Zoom recording to record the video and the audio. We're going to delete the video. It separates it. So we're not keeping any video. And then we're also using Otter AI to transcribe our conversation as we go. So if you're good with that, we can keep on going. Perfect. And then we did start with some just like formal introductions of ourselves. So if you wouldn't mind, would you give us a formal introduction of yourself? I guess we can also give a brief one for you. So I'm Colton Wansittler, and I am the interim assistant director while Trixie is on sabbatical.
I am Nicholas Bonani. I'm the one that's been emailing you a lot, and I am currently a graduate coordinator in the Writing Center as well.
What do you coordinate, Nicholas?
I am the scheduling coordinator at this time.
Okay.
It's being changed over, and it's going to be called the operations coordinator starting in the fall.
Okay. So in my mind, you're the new Beth Keller, who I know you've been talking to as well, because I remember she was the scheduler, and then Katie Manthey was the scheduler as well. Okay, yeah.
Maria, that's funny.
My formal introduction. My name is Lamia Bahrainwala. You can call me Lamia or LB. I am an assistant professor of communication studies at Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. And I worked at the Michigan State Writing Center from 09 to 11. And I work at a writing center in the American University of Sharjah in the United Arab Emirates, where I got my undergrad for 4 years before that.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And I adore writing centers. Make sure you transcribe that.
It's done. So we're currently in our like gathering stories phase, and we had just asked Travis what his favorite story of the Writing Center was. And so do you have a favorite story?
Yes, a favorite story. I remember when I was a trainee as a presentations coordinator, I practiced scheduling folks to see how to work the software. And usually we would tell those folks, hey, I'm just practice scheduling you. You're not actually scheduled for presentation. And then you'd cancel that, you know, presentation that was scheduled just to go through the run. And I remember doing it one time to our friend Casey Miles, who is not someone who's prepared to be a presenter. And then I did not bother to tell them that they're not actually scheduled for presentations. So they were in a panic. I was very self-satisfied because I had learned how to use the software and they were kind of really worried about it. So eventually, of course, we figured it out. But I remember that being kind of a funny moment. And I also loved the two times when I became an instructor of my own class and brought my students to the Writing Center for presentations. I felt really proud and I felt really supported by the center.
Sorry, I'm in the middle of trying to jot down some notes for us. Awesome. So to both of you now, during your time at the World, at the... That's okay. It was a phone, not a person, so everything's all right. During your time at the center, did any significant world, political, or university events occur? And can you describe or do you remember the center's approach or response to those events?
My goodness, okay. That's a great question. That was the Obama administration, and so I felt like there was that had happened in 08, like that election, and so I think I just remember a lot of really incredible synchrony between the mission and values of the center, which were very like focused on progressive orientations to writing stakeholders, and how that nicely kind of meshed with that administration and that world that I miss a lot now. I'm blanking on a particular kind of world, a political or university event. Famia probably has something awesome.
I don't recall the world event. I'm sorry, but I can recall a university event when I believe we had either one or two students on campus take their lives, and I don't remember if it was on campus, but they did take their lives, and the Writing Center, Trixie and Diana, decided to have a suicide awareness workshop for us, where we were trained as consultants to recognize, pick up on clues in individuals' writing that might show that they are having, that they could possibly be having thoughts of killing themselves. And, you know, I use those skills now as an instructor in one-on-one conversations. I thought it was really remarkable vision on their part to have that. But I do remember that track. Do you remember that happening?
Yeah. Was it maybe associated with the Tyler Clementi suicide of 2010? Because I think that was taken up in the Writing Center world in some ways. It was a young queer man who was outed.
Yeah, I remember on video by... Yeah.
I think it may have something to do with that.
Okay.
Because that came up on Writing Center listserv from a few kind of queer identified Writing Center directors. And I do think Trixie and Diana were part of that conversation.
Okay.
I think thanks for jarring that because I do believe that was the. Yeah.
That would then be kind of a national event, if not a world event. So
right.
It does. Maybe remembering about the one or two students committing suicide. I may be misremembering, but it's certainly, if not a Michigan state level event, perhaps even a national level event. Yeah. But that was the one that I remembered, Nicholas.
And so you said that they held workshops to help educate the consultants on recognizing these signs and what to do?
I know there was at least one workshop. I don't know if there was more than one. And specifically, it was identifying signs where an individual may be indicating that they're thinking of taking their life in their writing specifically. And I remember two of the tips were, one is if the individual is writing about giving away a loved possession, suddenly, like giving with guitar that they cherished for a long time, that could be a sign. And the second takeaway I remember is asking consultees directly if they're thinking about taking their life and learning for the first time that that is actually not a question to avoid, and that often folks who are thinking of taking their life really appreciate being asked that question. And I would never have thought to be that forthright. So I know there was at least one workshop.
Thank you. Can I add to that too? I remember that workshop, and it became a value I had as a writing center director later at my own site. When like I would tend to host, for example, the student sort of like mental health counselors on campus to come talk to writing tutors, my own writing tutors later about thinking about being allies to students in those capacities too. I love this format because I'm just like, oh yeah, that, you know, it's really nice to hear what others took and then kind of feel the kind of jarring other memories for me too. So thank you. This is great.
I was thinking the same thing, Travis. We have all these shared memories, yeah. And now we can speak about from different positions.
Yeah.
I was a master's student when Trav was a doctoral candidate.
Wonderful. Okay, so now we're going to move into organizational culture questions. So the first question in this section is, what was one key value or practice that has been or was a constant at the center?
Thing that comes to mind for me, and I think I've alluded to it some, is that like the embodiment of writing kind of and I that sounds really abstract, but I'll say it as concretely as possible. Like Trixie and Diana really, along with the research they valued, the ways they taught the grad seminar, the way we taught the undergrad seminar, we're focused on how writing is intricately kind of bound up in real lived experience, bodies, people, and that they're not that writing is not this kind of neutral thing. And I felt like before that, I really, even studying rhetoric and composition before that, I knew that, but it was really made concrete for me at the Writing Center in the school.
Very seriously, and that was providing support on to the Michigan State and the broader East Lansing community. And that meant is that we actually individuals who were currently enrolled in writing support, which I think was quite remarkable. And the only reason I discovered that they had this ethos and we're bringing it to the center was because there was particularly combative and kind of disagreeable consultee who made their way through a lot of consultants, all of whom were eventually saying that they're really, really rude and, you know, dismissive. We don't want to work with them anymore. And so what Trixie and Diana worked to do was make sure that that person still got writing consultations, but with people by and broader East Lansing community. So I thought that was remarkable. I think it also made me realize that our writing center at Michigan State had actually really, really tried to internalize the idea of service and service-based praxis. So that stuck with me because it would have been so easy to just turn this person away who was already difficult and not currently enrolled at the university.
Great, thank you so much. So our next question is, how would you describe the quality or the spirit of the center, the space itself?
Very queer.
Speak first, if that's okay, Trav.
Yeah. Very queer, very kind, very collaborative, very multimodal. It's the first writing center I worked in where a digital project could come in as a piece of composition, and students could get feedback on that from as a piece of multimodal composition. I think the center was also very queer in that Trixie and Diana were open in their out writing center administrative identities, and that attracted a lot of queer people of color. It made for a very diverse kind of writing center staff. Those are the kinds of initial like descriptors that come to mind for me.
Because my screen.
Are you there?
You gotta love Zoom.
Okay.
Hello.
Oh, are you there? We're having a hard time hearing you.
Oh, okay.
Uh-oh. Maybe she'll try and rejoin.
I bet she'll pop back in. Here she is, I think.
Here, okay.
Hi.
Yeah. Hey.
Hi.
I heard that, but you're kind of in and out.
I'm wondering too if she tries and joins without the video, if that might just help.
That's helped me sometimes too. Yeah, it's good advice. Can y'all hear me okay?
Yeah.
I was like, okay, maybe it's my internet, because every once in a while I'll have really bad internet connection with these things.
Sure.
But then I'm like, but no, I'm hearing Travis fine.
Are you there?
I heard that question. I am here.
Okay.
think we can hear you a little bit, although it keeps cutting out.
Yeah, I heard that.
I couldn't quite make it out.
No, I'm so sorry.
Okay, I'm gonna try to ask them.
Can we? I was going to say, if you want to try without the video on, maybe it'll help.
Yeah. Okay. Cut that. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
A little better. Yeah.
Oops.
Oh.
It's okay. With the magic of Final Cut, I can take out this little section. And
okay, are you with us? Hello. And I'm watching the little microphone next to her name to see if it, like, is picking up that she's talking.
Well, since we're experiencing some technical difficulties, it might be best to move on to the next question.
Okay.
For the sake of time, we have about 15 minutes and 8 questions left.
Okay.
We can move forward.
Yeah, okay.
My question is, please describe the center's approach to hiring and or onboarding and training. For example, can you describe the recruitment process for graduate and undergraduate consultants? And were there intentional efforts in place to recruit staff across disciplines? If so, what were they? And were they successful? It's a big question. I'm so sorry.
No, no problem. I can kind of sum that up pretty quickly. A lot of the recruitment came from RAC, Writing Rhetoric in American Cultures, for undergrad and grad. But Trixie and Diana were the type of administrators to be in a lot of rooms to work with a lot of different stakeholders across campus. So I always remember grad and undergraduate tutors and GAs who had very diverse, distinct backgrounds and disciplines. And I always thought that was really fantastic, in that we were not just made up of rhetoric and writing or English people. We were business, we were music, we were, we had biologists, we had social science folks. I loved that about the Writing Center. In terms of, let's see, I think it was a really successful recruitment process back when I was there. I think we had between 80 to 100 different tutors, grad and undergrad, and I would say we were represented really well across a lot of different disciplines across MSU, and I always thought that was really fantastic.
Wonderful. Thank you. What was onboarding like?
Yeah, so there were two kind of onboarding processes. One I would say is more like training, like day-to-day training, like, you know, timesheets and, you know, interfacing with the office staff, learning the kind of day-to-day logistics. But then there was also kind of a professional development seminar or a grad or undergraduate course about Writing Center work and theories and research. And that, those took place at the undergrad and grad level. I took or audited the grad level one, and I co-taught the undergrad one as one of the Writing Center GAs. I think that actually is your question. So
hey, can you talk a little bit about the design of the undergraduate course?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe it changed a little each semester to kind of think about the kinds of things taking place in the center. Like when Trixie and I taught it, for example, we noticed particular phenomenon kind of happening around the first year writing program, and so we wanted to prepare undergrad consultants to work with first and second year writers. And so one of our first projects centered around looking at project descriptions or assignment prompts and things like that, just for tutors to be familiarized with like those kinds of genres and helping undergrads through that. The course is also built around kind of a multimodal and also a research pedagogy. So you leave the class with a sense of being able to consult writing in a lot of different ways, to do research on consulting writing, and also to see writing, and also to, you know, build projects, participate in the center. It was a very research-focused center, and there was a lot of room for people in the professional development or seminars to participate in those kinds of things.
Great, thank you so much. So we're going to move on to our next section, which Nick will do.
Okay.
Also, just a heads up, Lamia said that she was going to try to join from a laptop.
Okay.
In like the next couple of minutes. So she could be back with us.
Cool. Yeah, no problem.
Okay, so we're going to the logistical and practical questions now. So the first one has been working in the Writing Center. How did you work or organize consultations? You know, did clients schedule appointments? If so, how?
Sure, yeah. So we operated off of Writing Center online. Students could make their own appointments by setting up accounts. They could also call in and speak with kind of the administrative staff about making and scheduling appointments. I believe they were 50 minute sessions, 10 minutes between for prep. I think you could also at the time schedule a 2-hour appointment. So pretty standard in terms of Writing Center online practices and organizational pieces like that.
And then our next one is, do you remember receiving or being directed to a handbook when you were hired?
Yeah, I do. And also, I believe when I was there, there was a process of, there was a committee on revising the handbook, I think for undergrads and grads. I think I graduated before it was done, but definitely there was a focus on, you know, creating that resource for tutors.
Do you remember anybody that was on that committee?
Yeah, I think Mary Lee and Elena. Elena at, goodness. Garcia Adkins, it's gonna, I could grab her name. Her name changed, her last name changed, and so I'm blanking a little bit on it. I believe the two of them were pretty integral to that process.
Okay, great. And then do you know, well, this was probably, I'm not sure that we need to ask number three about the initial creation of the center. So I guess we could just go to the final question, and then that way, if we are rejoined, what was that, Colton?
Oh, I think we could still do number four.
So the question is, when the center opened, was the service widely celebrated across MSU? But we could ask, like, while you were there, was the center widely celebrated? Were there any people who were suspect, unconvinced, or upset, you know, by MSU's funding of the center?
I only, I was, I was just starting to understand kind of administrative practice, like administrative work as a GA at the time. I think writing centers institutionally and kind of culturally can be misunderstood. So, I mean, there was occasionally, yes, so the writing center, this or that, but for the most part, I remember the writing center being really respected there. It was well-funded. It had a huge, huge budget, a huge number of interdisciplinary consultants. It worked with and was in a lot of, worked with a lot of writers. They were in a lot of rooms. I mean, I'm just thinking back to like the hosting of events. You know, there was a spoken word. There was a spoken word event. There was a event related to kind of race relations. There were a lot of things happening in the center that I think brought it a lot of respect. I remember I worked with Trixie on some faculty initiatives. They were more or less kind of writing in the disciplines, teaching-based, building workshops where you would kind of help faculty build and work with their teaching or their teaching documents. And, you know, there was always a good number of stakeholders in the room for that. Like, I felt like it was a really respected space, really well funded. I think that certainly far outweighed any kind of criticism you would hear about the Writing Center. I actually can't even, I don't know that I remember too much criticism or folks being upset necessarily.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
So we have a couple of questions to just kind of round it off, and then we'll see if they're able to join us or not. So the last question is there anything else you would like to share about the history of the center?
I think I think of the Writing Center at MSU, there's a lot of scholarship and research on identity, queerness, justice related to the Writing Center. I sometimes think of that as very abstract, but I think the MSU Writing Center has always been a place where that's a very lived, concrete orientation to Writing Center work. And I always have thought of that as kind of like, you have Writing Center scholars who write about it, but like, I always feel like when you, in the Writing Center discipline, the field of research, when you think of like who does the work, walks the walk, I always kind of think of the Writing Center at MSU, in particular Trixie and Diana, and a lot of the folks who've become Writing Center directors out of that, at least out of my cohort, and will continue to do so. At the last time I talked to Trixie, something like there were almost 20 or so Writing Center directors who'd spawned from like Trixie's kind of lineage kind of thing, like who've gone on to be Writing Center directors in some capacity. And I always thought that was really cool because you can see the kind of Writing Center MSU stamp on the field. And I've just always, again, I think it's a space that walks the walk.
And thank you so much.
And of course.
Last question is there anyone else that you worked with or know about that worked at the Writing Center that you think we should reach out to and interview?
Yeah, so it sounds like Mary Lee gave you a pretty extensive list. Let's see. So you talked to Mary Lee, Beth Keller. Have you talked to Katie Manthe?
She was on our list, but she didn't respond when I got the dual poll. So
okay. Maria Novotny.
Do you know how to spell the last name?
Yeah, it's N-O-V-O-T.
Okay.
NY, I think. She's at, I think, Wisconsin, Milwaukee.
Let me see. because Scott Chu sent me a list of other names. And Maria was not on there, so that's good.
Okay.
Was there, I'm trying to think. I know you mentioned Judy Easterbrook, mm-hmm. who was like the fiscal officer or mm-hmm. like in charge of budgets and whatnot. Were yeah. there any other office staff or anyone that you remember?
The administrative assistant, I believe her name was Kathy. I could not tell you her last name. I believe she had been at Michigan State for a long while and may have retired. Like, she had already been there like 30 years, I think, when I was working there. She may have since retired. Say it again.
She did.
Okay.
2014 when I came.
Okay. Okay. Think of other folks. Somebody who worked in the Writing Center a long time ago, who's on site with y'all, is Daniel DeVos. She was like one of the first like writing consultants with like Janet Swenson and stuff like that. And her earliest work was around writing centers and stuff like that, even though she's become, you know, a rock star in digital rhetoric and stuff like that. But she could probably answer questions like from the early 90s about being a writing consultant there. She was an undergrad at Michigan State, things like that. And I can also get a firmer sense of Elena's last name at the moment. I know it. I know what it was a long time ago. I don't think that's her last name anymore. So I can.
Garcia.
There you go. There you go. Atkins yes. Garcia, maybe. Okay. So she may already be on your list.
And so yeah. Daniel DeVos, Casey okay. Mills.
Cool. Yeah.
Ben Goodwin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. John Lochner was a mm-hmm. big person in the digital movement. James Jackson. I don't know that if you know him. He's now in industry. I think he works like in somewhere in Washington. He had a major, major impact on the center's earliest discussions of access and disability, and also its intersection with digital rhetoric. And this is before people were doing that kind of work. Now I feel like a lot of people are in that conversation. He was doing that conversation. He was in that conversation long before. I feel like that was kind of a commonplace academic discussion.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, of course.
All the interview questions we have.
Fantastic.